I have the pleasure this morning of introducing Maureen, who is our guest preacher for the morning. Maureen is one of the interns here at Redemption. She has done most of her work with children and youth, and she is a graduate student at Regent College in a master's program there. One of the things I appreciate about Maureen is her heart for children and for evangelism. She regularly asks me for ways that she can be involved in an appropriate way in witness here in Canada. I think she perceives correctly that some of us can be a little bit on the shyer end about such things, and where she's from in Ghana, they're much more forthright. So I'm hoping that she will rub off on us. Maureen, go ahead and go up front. I'd like to pray for you, and then we'll turn it over to you. If everyone would bow their heads with me, we'll pray for Maureen. Father, thank you for your servant, Maureen. Pour out your spirit on her this morning to lead us in your word and to deliver the message that you have for us this morning. Open our ears and eyes and hearts, Lord. Make us responsive to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take it away, Maureen.
Okay, so where I come from, say, praise the Lord, you respond, hallelujah. That's the highest praise. Hallelujah, then you say, amen. So praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen to the King of Glory. We thank God so much this morning. It's a blessing and a privilege to stand before you and minister God's word. Pastor Barry, thank you so much for the opportunity to do this. We are still in our series of Jesus's Endgame. And thank you, Shannon. Last week, it was an amazing introduction that she begins with in this series. And so we are continuing, and we are reading from Mark chapter 14, verse 10 to 25. Mark 14, 10 to 25. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city. A man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations there for me.' The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at table eating, he said, 'Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' They were saddened, and one by one they asked him, 'Surely not me. It is one of the 12, he replied, "one who dips bread in the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It will be better for him if he had not been born.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which I pour out for many," he said to them. "Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." Amen. To God be the glory, grace thanks he hath done. So loved he the wealth that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. Therefore, lest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Grace is he hath done. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Grace is he hath. Amen. We can give glory to Jesus. We can give glory to God for the great things that he has done. In today's passage, as we read, finally, the desires of the chief priests and the teachers of the law had been fulfilled by Judas. Judas sought to betray Jesus. They had sought every means and ways to arrest him and to kill him. But for the fear of the people, and also at that time, the Passover ceremony moment, they couldn't. And Judas went to them and betrayed Jesus. They promised to give him money. And Judas was one of the 12. The Passover ceremony or the Passover festival, it was an annual tradition that God asked the Israelites to keep. They were to celebrate God's deliverance, remembering what God did for them way back in the Exodus. We read that the Passover lamb was sacrificed, and they had to use blood on their doorpost so that that night the angel of death will pass over them. They will be exempted from death. So the Passover was observed by the with unleavened bread and necessarily a Passover lamb. So they were to remember who they were as a people and to remember God, who God was to them. God as a covenant-keeping God, as a faithful God, as their deliverance. And they were also to remember who they were as a people loved so much by God, a people that God would do anything for the sake of Egypt. Sorry, for the sake of Israel, God gave the whole nation of Egypt as a ransom. So Israel were to remember that they were so much loved by God. And this was the time in that year, it had come again for them to observe the Passover. And Jesus and his disciples marked this. And an amazing thing happened. Jesus had some announcement to give them whilst they were observing Passover. And first of all, Jesus announces his betrayal to the disciples. And he told them that it will be facilitated by one of them, one of the 12. One of you. I believe that the disciples weren't so much preoccupied with the question of what was going to be the fate of Jesus, but rather, who among us will betray Jesus? One of the 12. It is important for us to know that it was one of the 12, an insider, who betrayed Jesus. So like the other 11, he was also called by God, by Jesus, sorry. Like the other 11, he also left everything and followed Jesus. Like the other 11, he had also witnessed so many miracles, so many signs and wonders. He has sat under the feet of Jesus, and he had been taught by Jesus. One of the 12, Judas Iscariot, was this one. Judas had seen a lot of things that Jesus in his lifetime had done. And once the 60 people, the 72 people were following Jesus initially, we know from scripture, 60 of them decided that we are not going anymore. And he stayed. He was one of those who stayed. In a way, he believed with Peter that only Jesus had the word of eternal life, which is able to help them. So he stayed, one of the 12. So why did Judas, knowing this much, having been following the Savior all this while, betray him? Mark's gospel does not tell us why he did so, but from Matthew and John, it reveals that it was greed for money. His motive of following Jesus made him vulnerable for the manipulations of the evil one, of Satan. And Jesus made this announcement at the table not to prove a point to Judas that, yes, I know that you are planning this against me. But he did so to extend an invitation to him, to give him an opportunity, yet another chance, that Judas will repent. He did that not in any other setting, but at the table. At the table, not in any social gathering, but at the table. At the table of fellowship, one who dips, who eats with me from the same bowl. That depicts trust and intimacy. So in that atmosphere of trust, in that atmosphere of fellowship, in that atmosphere of intimacy, Jesus extended that invitation to him, because that atmosphere is where one can be vulnerable, not being ashamed of anything. But what do we see here? Judas Iscariot, his mind was made up. He made a choice, a personal choice, and did not respond to this invitation. It is important for us to know that, like Judas, we are also following Christ. Judas was so close. He was so close. How are we following Jesus? Have we given him our all? Are we holding part of us? Have we given him part of our lives and holding on to other part of our lives? Do we just come to church, or genuinely we have accepted the love of God? We have accepted Christ into our lives as our Lord and Savior. Is it a possibility, yes, that we are following Christ? We are close to him, yet we can miss our salvation, just as Judas did. This very hour, God is calling on all of us. Examine yourself. Allow God to examine your heart. What is that part that you are holding back? What is that part of your life that the devil can capitalize on and you will be vulnerable to his manipulation? Have you yielded all to the master? He is calling on us today, and he is saying that this is the grace I am offering. Yes, you are following me. Yes, you are coming after me, but I need your all. I don't need part of you. Giving me part of you will make you vulnerable. Give me your whole life. Give me your entire being. Let me possess your life. Let me be the Lord of your life. Let me lead you the way. Let me show you what to do. Let me go ahead of you and make the path straight before you. This is eternal life Christ offers to all. And he is opening his hands to all of us this morning, extending this invitation to us. Maybe we are here, and like Jesus, we have suffered a betrayal. Jesus knew, he knew that Judas was going to betray him. But he did not take offense at that. He still extended himself. Is there an area in your life that you feel that you have been so much hurt and wounded? You have been betrayed, and you are finding it difficult to let go. You are holding on to something. Grace is available this morning. Christ offers grace that you can reach out to, you can receive, so that you can have the grace to extend forgiveness to other people. Betrayal is something that is really difficult to bear. I don't know how many of us have been there, have been betrayed. I don't know what is hurting you, what is your hurt, what is your pain from relationships. But I want to tell you this morning that I have a testimony. Just imagine a young girl where I come from in my culture. If singleness is not something that the Lord has called you to, then every girl sort of desired to be married. And someone just betrays you, and the next moment your relationship is down at the verge of marriage, and then what happens? And it is only Christ who can heal our hearts and give us that grace to extend to the people who have hurt us the most. And the people who are hurting or will hurt us or have hurt us the most, they are not outsiders. They are insiders. They are close friends. They are close relations. Those are the people that will hurt you. But I have a good news for you this morning that Jesus, our high priest, he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And so he is able to help us in our weakness. This morning, Christ is offering grace to us, and he wants to help us be the kind of people that he wants us to be. Grace to repent from all the sins that he is calling us from. Grace to repent to be the people he wants us to be. The grace of God has appeared unto us this morning. And that grace offers salvation to all men. The grace is teaching us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, whilst we look for this blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that we might be redeemed from every lawless deed and purify himself, so that we will be God's own special people, zealous for every good work. Jesus, this morning, is reaching out to us. And we read from the verse 22, he tells us, he does this in an amazing way. While they were eating at table, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. His body was broken for our wholeness. Praise the Lord. And his blood for our forgiveness. The redemption which Jesus Christ accomplished for the world, the Passover foreshadowed that redemption. And so it's not about the blood of animals, but his own blood. He became the Passover lamb. He became the lamb of atonement for our sin. And that night, Christ instituted the Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. The old covenant has given way to the new. And so it is not about the blood of animals that the people will now remember. That was the end of Passover and the beginning of the Holy Communion. And this signifies a new beginning. Scripture says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The communion table or the Lord's Supper, I love it when I see this all the time, in remembrance of me. Jesus instituted this to signify that we have a new life in him. We have a new faith in him. And it is not about what we can do. It is about what he has accomplished for you that you have to accept. It is not about any good thing that you can offer. It is about what the Savior has done. And so the Holy Communion points us to the cross. It points us to the cross where Christ died, where he shed his blood, where he was broken. Bible says that he was wounded for our transgression. Yes, our Lord was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is the amazing grace that he offers us. So how do we participate in the Holy Communion? We come to the Lord's table. It is an invitation to participate in the life of the Godhead. Isn't this amazing? The very life of God. Christ calls us to participate in this life. We therefore approach the Holy Communion, the table, in faith to receive the healing, to receive the life that Christ, through his blood, has offered us. As we partake in the Holy Communion, we declare that we are indeed forgiven and made righteous. And the table gave us access to enter in. So we can go to God boldly. We can go to the presence of God in all boldness. That is what it did for us. Whenever we are partaking the Holy Communion, we read, a while ago, we were all invited into the Holy Communion. And one of the things that we always hear, do this in remembrance of me. We remember Jesus, who he is. We remember him as our Savior. We remember him as the one who gave his life that we may live. We remember our deliverance at the cross. We remember the very life that God, through Christ, has given us. For we, through Jesus' blood and his body, were translated from the kingdom of darkness. And now we are in the kingdom of the dear Son of God. What a blessing. We are to remember who we are as a people. A people called by God to participate in his divine life. We are to remember that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, a people that we may proclaim the good news of God, the praise of God, who called us from darkness into his marvelous light. In remembrance of this, we cannot help but to give thanks to our great God, who has made us possible, who has made it possible for us to have this great salvation. We remember in praise. We remember in thanksgiving. We remember the cross. We remember the forgiveness that he offers to all. And as we remember this, we also have to know that it is not just a reminder of participation in redemption, but also it is an anticipation of the Lord's return. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, in anticipation of his return. And this is what I always think about, like this way. All that Christ has done for me, that I am enjoying, this eternal life that I have, how am I living my life for others to also come to participate in this blessing? So it is a call to us to reach out to other people that they may also come and have a taste of what we are experiencing. As we read in scripture, Jesus said that this is my body, the body of Jesus, the blood, it was shed for many. The body of Christ was broken for many. The blood of Jesus was shed for many lives. Once in the gospel, Jesus told his disciples that I have other sheep outside the pen that I have to bring them in. And it is you and I. And I love the vision of redemption. We prioritize people. We show the love of God to the world. And the way, one of the ways we do this is to proclaim the gospel. We have been saved by God's special grace. And this invitation is to us and to the world at large. It is my prayer that we open ourselves up to God for him to use us to bless the world. If there is any lesson that I will pick from Judas, is that he sought for every way to betray Jesus. And the lesson is this: I will also seek for every way to proclaim him. I will seek for every way to make him known to the world. To make Christ known, that the table, the suffering, the pain that he went through, it was for the redemption of the world. So many people are dying without hope of eternal life. So many people are dying. They don't know Christ. A lot of people are in situations that all they need is for someone to reach out to them with the gospel.
Jesus is calling on us this morning. This invitation is for us and it's for the world. This morning, I don't know the area of your brokenness, but this is the good news that Christ offers. His body was broken for you, for me, for the world. His blood was shed. His blood was shed that you and I will have forgiveness. This is the new covenant. He is reaching out to you this morning with this invitation. He invites you to this grace. I don't know how your response to him will be. Will you say, "Yes, Lord, wholeheartedly, here I come. Take me, use me, mend my brokenness. I come before you today to accept the life that you give to mankind, to all." This morning, what is our response? We should have it in our heart to respond to him. We cannot afford to miss it. No. He has paid it all. On the cross of Calvary, he did. We cannot afford to miss our salvation. We cannot afford to let the precious of the world, the lust of the world, the lust of the flesh to take us. No. But thanks be to God for the grace he is offering. Grace for us to stand. Grace to make it. Because we have the whole company of heaven cheering us on, telling us that he made that for you, that death was for you. Push on, go on, carry on. We have this encouragement with us. May God himself bless his word. And I invite each one of you to this grace, which has appeared to all men and offering salvation, to this life that the body and the blood of Jesus offers to us, that we will not live our lives as we please, but we will live for him. That we would also reach out to those who are perishing, to those who are lost. Shall we bow down our heads and pray? This is God's invitation of grace to us this morning. His blood and body gave us access to this divine life. Yes, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for us. Whatever area in your life you're needing healing, the grace of God is available. Grace is here. Grace is here. Grace is here. Thank you, dear Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray that you meet us. And I pray that we will respond to this call of grace. grace, that your blood and your body, Lord, offers. This forgiveness, Lord, help us. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.